Ooh, did somebody have a dark night? Well, it's ended. Praise the Lord. Break through our crowded dawn again. Only you can satisfy our hearts, filling us with songs of joy to the end of our days. We've been overwhelmed with grief. Come now and overwhelm us with gladness. Replace our years of trouble with decades of delight. Let us see your miracles again, and let the rising generation see the glorious wonders you're famous for. Oh, Lord our God, let your sweet beauty rest upon us and give us favor. Come work with us, and then our works will endure and give us success in all that we do. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. It really just speaks right to the heart. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Father's heart that you put inside of us, because we're your children and we're just like you. We've been created in your image and your likeness, so therefore we are just like you. And we love you and you love us. And we thank you, you're a good Father. You take care of us. You know everything about us. You can number the hairs on our head, even if you don't have any. He knows all about us. Amen. So you can't run from him, because he'll find you. He knows exactly where you are. Amen. So we give him all the glory and all the honor this morning in Jesus' name. And I'm going to put some of the lights on right now, okay? All right. Give him a hand clap. Okay, and I want to put them on all the way, because we're going to have another video before I give the message this morning. So why don't we do this right now? Why don't we receive the tithes and offerings? And if you need an envelope this morning, just raise your hand, and Carla and Trish will come around and give you an envelope. If you like to give through a credit or debit card, I believe Alan will be back there, and he'll get you through the transaction. Praise you, Jesus. In Deuteronomy 1:11, this reminds me of Isabel. She isn't here today. So Don and Debbie are not here today. Don is here because he's going to go away with Eric to his building to pack it up, because finally, in the fullness of time, Don and Debbie sold their building. We've been praying for that for years. So that's why Don is here today. But they'll be here July 13th, and I'll make that announcement. So Deuteronomy 1:11 says, "May the Lord, the God of our fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as he has promised you." How many like 1,000-fold return? Ooh. Well, let's claim it. So if it's in the word, we can have it, right? Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Blessings. The blessings of the Lord. How's that scripture go? The blessings of the Lord, and he adds no sorrow to it. How's that go? The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs, I don't know the address, but it's in there. Praise God. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's a little warm in here, isn't it? Huh? Okay, come on up. She wants to give a praise. Yes, a praise. That's right. I see. I know it was healed. So.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much for the prayers. God's been doing work on this bod. And this past week, I had Mohs surgery on my scalp for a basal cell carcinoma, which is no longer there, cancer-free. Praise God. So I give him the glory. Amen.
Yes. Huh? Yes. She was in and out of there. Okay, come on. Ooh, I like these. Praise reports.
You guys prayed for my buddy Charles.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Okay, so I get a phone call. Get a phone call yesterday from him. Now, I could hardly understand this man every time he would talk to me because he was so weak. He called me yesterday. He said, "Brad, I can't tell you how good I feel." He said, "I want you to know something." He said, "I love you." He said, "It's because of the nutrients you gave me and the prayers of your people that I'm doing so well." So I just want to let you guys know, thank you for praying for Charles. I really appreciate it. I know he's going to do a lot of, he's done so much for so many people, and it's time for him to reap that. So I just want to say thank you, everybody.
Amen. The prayer of the righteous. For some reason, I can only get halfway. What's the rest of the verse? The prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's it? Okay, all right, say that again.
Fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much.
That's the one. Okay, thank you. Woo! Huh? I know, I hope so. You might have to help me. Well, I have notes, so. And I got the Bible. What else do we need? Come on over here. Okay, we all done? Oh. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow, I am so full right now. We haven't gotten started yet. Father, we thank you for the fullness of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that everything that he is, he gave to us. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are the God of everything for us, the provider, the deliverer, the healer. You are our everything. So, Lord, we give you all the praise this morning. We thank you for increase. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we know and we could trust you because you hear us and you answer us. So, Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, it's over. What? I just did, Annette. She's... How many are not here right now? You're here, but you're not here right now? That's how I feel. Oh, wow. Woohoo! That means God is at work, right? Okay, what am I doing next? Okay, schedule. Okay, Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have our prayer time. Yes. And Dawn, our phones are still out. They're out again. I have to call tomorrow, just so you know. But the voicemail is working. So anyway, all our messages are recorded put on our website, tfhcf.org. Okay, July 13th, that's when Dawn and Debbie are coming. Yay, at 10:30, and they will have live worship, preaching, and ministry, like they always do. And we're all anxious and waiting to see you again, and Debbie, and are you anxious too? Yeah? Yeah, come on. I was waiting for you to say something, that you wanted to say something.
Hey, y'all. Good to see you all. Debbie says she loves you all, and I just, you know, I'm sitting back there. I'm going, should I share something? Should I encourage the people here? And I just felt like the Lord, you know, I don't know if you guys know the season that, you know, that we're in. We're, you know, we all go through transitions, and sometimes transitions are hard. They can be like desert times. They can be seasons where you don't know what God's doing. You don't know where you're going. And Debbie and I, a year and a half ago, actually, just hit a year and a half ago, we were going back and forth to Ohio trying to take care of her mom, up in, it's in Conneaut, Ohio. It's right on the, it's beautiful, little, it's beautiful on the lake. I don't want to go through another hard winter like that again. That was horrible. We had one time 4.5 feet of snow right after Thanksgiving. But so we moved up here. It became such a situation that Debbie said, I just need to go. And I said, well, let me finish up a few things. That was December 23. And I said, I'm going with you. You know, I have to go with you. So we came. And thank God we did. It's one of those situations where there's enough siblings helping up there, and she just can't be left alone anymore in this situation. You know, she's 89 now. And I can't tell you that it's been a place I want to live. It's been some difficult days for me, especially because we basically shut down our ministry. We shut down our traveling because we couldn't get anybody to take care of her mom. And, you know, we got her sister coming in next 2 weeks from now. But it's a time where God is doing something in me. He's doing something in Debbie. It's a time where he's transitioning us into some new things. The wait is difficult at times. Watching... You know, how do you pray for a parent who's at the end of their life? How do you do that? You know, you don't see any quality of life, and I know Jim has dealt with this, but you want to finish well. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to finish this season well. This honors you. My flesh may not like being here. I may not like the day-by-day, you know, taking care. And Debbie struggles too. There's some days where it's hard with mom. Some days she's super sharp. Some days she's out there. But we both have purposed that we're going to do this and we're going to finish well. And, you know, I was recently, I kind of clean up all this stuff. Debbie, she's in the battle zone all day long, and I'm like in the background just assisting her. And I was doing some stuff the other day, you know, not pleasant stuff, and I just felt the Lord said, this pleases me. This pleases me. You know, and so I just know that when this season's over, and our building just sold, we had it for, you know, if you don't know the reason we had a facility, we had a mission school for about 7 or 8 years and led teams over to the UK. We made like 15 trips over there with kids. And then we transition and all kind of stuff, and it's been difficult to sell that building. And the Lord sent a group of people that are like Team Challenge, and they are so excited. They're going to be housing up to 28 people in our building, and basically the same kind of program like Team Challenge. So that's another transition. The building sold. Eric volunteered to go down with me. I'm so thankful. We'll go down and pack it up this week. And so I know when all these things change, the building sells, at some point Debbie's mom will pass, we'll settle things in Ohio, we'll go back to North Carolina. And I just know the Lord, and we've had words, this next season is going to be powerful. It's going to be a new season. It's going to be a lot less of Don and Debbie, that's for sure. I want to share all that so you'll know where we're at. Keep us in prayer. You're in a transition too. Embrace it. Embrace that it doesn't fit into the box. You hear what I'm saying? That it looks different. Embrace it because you're getting ready to enter in some new things that it's like us. We don't know where we're moving when we finish and we go back to Carolina. We're putting our stuff in a storage room. We don't know where we're going to base our ministry. We feel like we're done in that county. And just like you guys, you're at a place, a new place, the Father's house is, that some things have changed. There may be some more changes. You might start seeing new faces come in. You might start, the blend may look, be different. You might start seeing people come in here covered in tattoos and piercing. You don't know what's going to happen. You guys... get ready to love on people, okay? I just encourage you that we're in a new season, and embrace what God's going to do, and believe that,
rally together as a family. You know, one of the things that we like about the Father's house, and I tell Karen this all the time, we feel like this is like our, almost like our home church at times, because we know everybody. We know a lot of stuff about everybody. And we just love you guys. You guys are you're amazing, and we've gotten to know little by little each of you, and I'm always asking Karen and Eric, how is so-and-so doing? And I just encourage you during this season, during this transition, to rally together, invite people, reach out, and let the Lord build something new here. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to look like for us either. I know we're going to be traveling, and you know, good. And God has good for us, and God has good for the Father's house. So, you know, I'm going to ramble here. Love you all, and get ready. I'll end with this. A few weeks ago, I just went through a drought up there, where I just couldn't write anything. I'd get my guitar out. Of course, I was telling Eric and I forget who was back there. Oh, it was Craig. We're between two train tracks, and all day long, and I'm not exaggerating, probably 30 trains come by, and they start blowing their horns a long way off before they get to the crossways. I'd go crazy. And it's, the atmosphere is not conducive to write songs. And so a few weeks back, I just started feeling some new stuff. I just got so excited, and I wrote two new songs I'm going to be doing in a couple weeks. And when I was working on one, I felt like the Lord said, and I say it to you, the drought is over. The drought is over. And you take that for whatever it means for you. The drought is over. God is doing some new things. He's pouring revival. So in 2 weeks, invite some people. Let's believe for an outpouring here. Debbie's got all this new stuff inside her, and she's excited about ministering and pouring out, and she's, you know, wide open. Hallelujah. So anyway, love you. I don't mean to take up so much time. I never talk when I come in anyway. Debbie does. Love you.
Love you too. Just preaching my message. Why is it that always? That's okay. Can you hear me? Oh, it sounds like there's nothing coming out. Well, anyway, I had this message for weeks. It's called Transformation. Now, before I start the message, I'm going to show you a video. It's called Fearless, and it's about transformation. So I'm going to start off with that, okay? Go ahead, Deja.
There's got to be more than going back and forth. Doing right to doing wrong, 'cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody. Thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage, when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless. Up in righteousness, that's exactly what that's he exactly did. What he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless,
has made you flawless.
awesome. The cross has made us flawless. Woo! Glory to God. I'll probably have to shut the lights down again in a little bit, because I have three little videos to show you after my message. Well, anyway, my message is on transformation. I'm going to use this word, transformation, as a title to the message today, but I can say and use many words to describe what the Lord is doing in us right now. I can call it transformation, transition, alignment, spiritual awakening, a change, a shift. All things have passed and is doing a new thing inside of us. You may be experiencing something going on inside of you lately, and this is the Lord's doing. How many feel there's something going on inside of you right now? Yes, it's all good. He is doing a work in us for a purpose in this season, like the previous messages in the past few weeks we had on the old and the new wineskins. The old wineskin has to be prepared to be made new again for the use of the new wine. The new move of God in this season we are in right now. Yes, we are in it right now. In order for us to move in this season, God has to do a work in us so we can be used and moved by the Spirit of God for his purposes and our destinies to be fulfilled in this last day harvest. God does everything for a purpose. If you've been feeling and sensing that you've been going through changes, things may be chaotic or things may be erupting inside of you, you may feel good or you may not feel so good, and you can't even explain what's up about these experiences, because God is at work. He is cleansing us on the inside, cleaning up the things that need to go, or installing new revelations that need to be known, or installing gifts that maybe are dormant or be enhanced for the purpose, for his purpose, so we can pour out to others and be used for him. Remember the message on the ancient Jewish wedding that I did a while ago? Remember the bride and the bridegroom had to go through a cleansing process before they were married. It is the same for us right now. He is cleansing his bride. When we were first born again, we started the transformation process. I've been transforming since 1975. Sounds funny, doesn't it? And so are you. Some were major changes, but some were slow changes. Some really hurt, too. The Holy Spirit does the transformation. We shouldn't be anything like we were before we were born again. In the last day harvest of souls, I believe the people are going to be transformed quickly before the rapture of the church. Jesus said he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I often wonder throughout my whole years, how is God going to do that? Well, he wants to marry a pure, spotless bride. So I am going to talk about all these changes so we can understand how God is transforming us. Biblical transformation means change or renewal from a life that no longer conforms to the ways of the world, but to one that pleases God. Biblical transformation process is the way in which God forms Christ's character in believers through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in accordance, of course, with biblical standards. It involves the transformation of the whole person, including our thoughts, our behaviors, our relationships with God and others. This process requires actively engaging with Scripture and allowing the Holy Spirit to reshape our thoughts and our attitudes, leading to an ongoing journey and deepening us into being Christ-like and who we are in Christ, our identity, like Ed talked about last week. Revealing who we are in Christ. In Romans 1:20 in the New American Standard, Paul says, his invisible attributes, that's God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And what he is saying here is God put creation into existence. He embedded the natural realm, certain characteristics into it that reflect himself. He created all things with careful consideration. Now, this is where Ed touched on last week. For instance, the transformation process from the caterpillar to the butterfly can serve as an illustration of the process of being transformed, like he said last week. The transformation is called metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. It's a big word. The word means to change, and morphe means form. So it literally means to change form. The Bible reveals that a major part of God's plan for us is that we also go through this transition. Okay, big word. To change form into something different than we are now, or we keep changing until we are changed in the rapture for the last time. When the Father tells Jesus it's time, go get your bride, he's going to call us up and we're going to fly up. Amen. And I'm now we don't know when that's going to be, and it's up to the Father. Everybody has their own thing about, he's not going to come back now. Yeah, he's coming back any day now. And well, when the Father wants to bring Jesus back, that's when he's going to call us back. And we have nothing to say about it, okay? Okay, so what am I reading here? 1 Corinthians 15:51. Okay, I'll start in 50. It says, now I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, flesh and blood are not able to inherit God's kingdom realm, and neither will that which is decaying be able to inherit what is incorruptible. Now it says in 51, listen, and I will tell you a divine mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will be all transformed. It will happen in an instant, in a twinkling of his eye. Just like that. Woo! For when the last trumpet is sounded, the dead will come back to life, and we will be indestructible, and we will be transformed. For we will discard our mortal clothes and slip into a body that is imperishable. I'm reading out of the Passion. What is mortal now will be exchanged for immortality. Woo! And I believe he's changing us now. Now, going back to the caterpillar, life began the caterpillar as an egg. The butterfly goes through three main stages. The caterpillar stage, the chrysalis stage, which is that cocoon stage, and the butterfly stage. Human beings, likewise, after being born again, are destined to go under metamorphosis. If we look at this closer, we will understand. The caterpillar stage is the natural cardinal mind. The creature starts off life as an egg from which it becomes a caterpillar. This wormy stage isn't glorious, for the caterpillar are often noted as being nuisances and pests, right? They havoc a garden. They can even destroy forests. In the current state of the cardinal mind is enmity against God. We don't naturally obey God, and we do the things that lead to peace. We do not do those things. Hallelujah. Let me just stop a minute. Lois, do you recognize that girl back there? Her name's Brianna. She was in your youth group many years ago. She was looking for you. Okay, and I'll keep going on. Okay, sorry. Okay, you're all with me? Okay, so we don't stay, the caterpillar doesn't stay that way. Just like the caterpillar doesn't stay that way, we don't stay that way either. We undergo a transition period. The chrysalis stage of the caterpillar is metamorphosis stage. Boy, that word is really hard when you're in the Holy Ghost right now. When this happens, the caterpillar begins to shrink and shred its skin, and its organs dissolve. It gets mushy inside a cocoon. Just think about that. The caterpillar begins to die, but then a new creature begins to emerge. The biologists describe this as an adult form of these insects. They are actually new organisms, where the first one lives and dies, and then the other one emerges. It's just like us. We undergo a similar process. It's slow and gradual. Our old man is to die, but then a new man is to be created. Just as the caterpillar dies slowly and becomes a new creature, we too must undergo a similar process. The old man must die and be recreated in the new man. Now let's look up these scriptures. I think Deja will probably put them up. Ephesians 4, 22, 24. Ephesians 4, 22. Okay. He said this. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Isn't that awesome? And then the next one is Corinthians chapter 3, 7-11. Sounds like a store. Is it first? It's Colossians, not Corinthians. I'm sorry. I need new glasses. Or I'm believing for my eyes to be healed, one or the other. Okay, Colossians 3, 7-11. That doesn't even look right. Is that right? What did I give you, Deja? Colossians 3, 7-11. Okay, there it is. It says, that's how you once behaved, and it described how you used to be, okay? By your evil deeds. But now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything, as he lives in every one of us. Whew. Says it all right there. So as Christians, we should be constantly growing, shedding off our old cardinal characters and putting on God's holy, righteous character. The process keeps continuing in us. Okay. So we have something to do on our part, okay? But the Holy Spirit does a transformation. We need to put the Word of God in us, feeding off the Word. In Romans 12:2, it says, renew your mind with the Word of God. In Romans 10:7, it says, faith comes by hearing. Right. And we need to know that Christ is being revealed in us. We need to know who Christ is in us. We need to know him. We need to know how God loves us. And God's love is inside of us. And knowing and understanding the power of the cross and what Christ has done for us. All these things are important to know, to be revealed in us, so we can grow and be transformed. Now I'm going to go back to the caterpillar, to the butterfly. After the caterpillar has formed its chrysalis, that's in the cocoon, it starts to dissolve and most of its cells die. And that's what happens to us. Our flesh starts to die. With only a few cells remaining, what scientists call imaginal cells. These few cells start to switch off the instructions in their DNA that makes a caterpillar and turn on the instructions to make a butterfly. A new organism is created and it's nothing like its old self. It turns into a butterfly. Isn't that something? The DNA is now executing a different set of plans to make a new body. Say that two different sets of genetic instructions are at work. This switch turns caterpillar off, the old man, and turns the butterfly on, the new man. Amen? A new life is resurrected in a new body. That's miraculous. Paul describes the same concept this way. The human body is sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 43, 44. It says, the body is sown in decay, but will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation, but will be raised in glorification. It is sown in weakness, but will be raised in power. If there's a physical body, there's also a spiritual body. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's plan for us ultimately is being transformed into spirit beings so we can have life at his level of existence, because God is a spirit. But in order for that to happen, we must undergo transformation that begins in this life. In this life, our character must be transformed to become more like that of Jesus. We develop God's very own character. Doing that prepares us to inherit a new life as a glorified spirit being, living in God's eternal family forever. Hallelujah. We start life as wormy, and we'll be flying to the finish. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's look at Isaiah 64, 8. Old Testament, Isaiah 64, 8. It says here, is that the Passion? Oh, wow. She's got the Passion. I don't have that. It says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of thy hand. So what is he saying here? We are the clay, and in the hands of God, God has a purpose to shape us into Christ's image. God has created each of us the way he wants us. Now let's look at Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Okay, this is what it says. You You formed our innermost being, shaping our delicate inside and our intricate outside, and wove them all together in our mother's womb. It says, I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I've ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Wow. So like yourself, he created you. Hallelujah. Wow. Woo. It is our responsibility to take what he has given us and use it for his glory and pleasure. In doing so, we find our ultimate fulfillment. Rather than live with disappointment and dissatisfaction for what God has or has not given us, we choose to thank him in everything. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Just as the clay finds its purpose when it remains pliable in the hands of the potter, so our lives fulfill their purpose when we let our potter have his way with us. Of course, that is God. God is the potter, and we are the clay. Now we're going to talk about God's pruning process. It's just, yeah. Ouch is right. It's the spiritual transformation that is an essential part of our journey and growth. Pruning is not punishment. Say that. Pruning is not punishment. It's just pruning. It involves shedding worldly patterns and embracing God's will for our lives. Pruning is a concept we encounter in gardening, but its spiritual significance runs much deeper. In the same way a gardener trims branches to encourage healthier growth, God works in our lives to remove anything that hinders our spiritual development. The process can be painful or confusing, but the act is an act of love and care. Another word for pruning, believe it or not, in the Greek, is cleansing. So let's look up John chapter 15, 1 through 8. It says, I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severs from the vine, will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Hallelujah. This pruning or cleansing often helps us to grow spiritually and emotionally. God's pruning is not just about eliminating the bad. It's about refining the good to help us thrive in alignment with his will. The Lord, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is the gardener of our souls. Pruning is an act of trimming away dead or overgrown branches or stems to encourage healthy growth. Spiritually, God's pruning refers to the divine process where the Lord removes aspects of our lives that hinder our spiritual health or growth. The Lord is entrusted in us to be refined, reshaped, and to be healthy so we could bear more fruit in our lives. That's why he prunes us. He wants more fruit. And it hurts. The Holy Spirit may trim back areas we thought were healthy or even flourishing, but he does it so that we can grow stronger and be more productive. This process sometimes can be painful and confusing, and we don't understand what is happening. Pruning may also feel like a loss, a discomfort, or even failure, but pruning is necessary to prevent us from wasting energy on areas of our lives that don't contribute to our spiritual well-being. The Holy Spirit removes things from our lives that are not bearing fruit so that we can focus on what truly matters. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit to make sure that we're in position for the best possible growth. We need to be pruned so that we don't grow wild. I love that. Or unhealthy, and going in unhealthy directions. The goal isn't to harm us, but it's to shape us into better versions of ourselves, ones that are aligned with his will. He may be cutting back on our pride, reducing our reliance on material things, or just letting go of things that no longer serve our growth in him. Pruning is an act of love and preparation, even when God's love feels uncomfortable. Pruning teaches us to rely on God, reminding us that he is the source of all growth and productivity in our lives. It makes us stronger. And, you know, when you're going through this, because I'm going through it right now, and you get very confused because you don't know what God is doing. And you're constantly going to him and asking him, what are you doing? I don't understand. In this season that we're in right now, it's a time of transformation into a new pruning, into the new. Pruning may hurt, but let's trust the process. Let's lean into God's care and let him shape us into what we were designed to be. Because he wants us to fulfill our destinies that were already written. Before we were born, he wants us to get there. Now let's fly right into the finish line, okay? Okay, now I'm going to play for you a testimony about a man named Jelly Roll. How many like Jelly Roll? He was already well-known singer, rapper in the country music world. He was a drug dealer, a drug user. You can tell he lived a very hard life. He came to Christ, and because of the song Hard Fought Hallelujah, which was sung by Brandon Lake, they got together to do some concerts. And one that I'm going to show, the last video, is at a fairgrounds. They also did one at Grand Ole Opry. I'm sure they played many different places. They were reaching people, okay, with the message of Christ. Now, after the Holy Spirit was transforming him, he went before Congress to tell them they had to do something about the fentanyl problem, and he gave his testimony. Also, I want you to hear about how the church didn't accept him. Now, let's keep in mind that if someone walked in here, like Don was saying, and if you meet someone out there, that don't reject them because you don't like the way they look. Okay? Because this guy is tattooed all over his face. And, you know, that turns a lot of Christians off. So let's look at the transformation process. So I'm going to turn the lights back down, and then Deja, there are three short videos, okay? I hope they come out okay.
Democrats Republicans, law enforcement, and a Grammy-nominated artist getting together to address a problem that touches just about every American.
Every drug I've seen, nothing has held a candle to what's happening with fentanyl.
Jason DeFord, known by his stage name Jelly Roll, using his background as a former drug dealer and his platform as a rising voice in the music industry, only talk to God when I need a favor, to confront the fentanyl crisis.
I was a part of the problem. I am here now standing as a man that wants to be a part of the solution.
He joined law enforcement leaders Thursday to appear before the Senate Banking Committee, urging the passage of the Fend Off Fentanyl Act. The bill, which is currently stalled in Congress, would declare international trafficking of fentanyl a national emergency, ramp up sanctions against the groups behind it, and use proceeds from sanction enforcement to bolster law enforcement. All agree there's more to do, like cracking down on the illicit financing of drug operations, often involving crypto or apps like WeChat Pay.
Never in my career with the DEA has a criminal organization had the benefit of an encrypted global network.
Where Democrats and Republicans are split is how to start addressing the flow of fentanyl through the U.S. southern border.
We can secure the border. It's an open, bleeding wound.
In 2021, over 90% of fentanyl seizures occurred at legal crossing points.
DeFord calling out their partisan divide.
We don't see nothing happening in D.C. except fights.
DeFord reminded senators that nothing can happen without cooperation from the House, where there's currently a partisan standoff about government spending that's rooted in their differences about the border. On Capitol Hill, I'm Atrell Nashar.
I heard
God's doing some awesome.
Hearts on Hallelujah. I haven't had a record touch me like that in so long. It's been years since I worshiped the way that I worshiped to that song.
Wow.
Because, like, I carry my faith with me, but I'm also struggling.
Yeah.
And very honest and open about that.
We all are, you know, in different ways. Yeah.
I've been so bitter and hurt by the church and their dogma that I created my own. Now, because I believe music meets us where we are.
Yeah.
I needed that record when I heard.
I knew that it was important tonight to bring music of all sorts here and to make sure that I made my headline and debut here themed in the power of music. And I know that I fall short to the glory of God all the time. I still cuss like a sailor. I still smoke a little smoke and drink a little drink like Eric Church. But man, I got a heart for God, y'all. I believe God can change and God can heal. And with that being said, I want to bring my brother. He's probably the biggest Christian artist in the world right now. I can't believe he's with me tonight. Mr. Brandon Lake, come on down here, baby. Let's go to church.
Hey, hey.
What's up, Stagecoach?
Man, I can't help but think, don't y'all think this is what heaven's gonna be like? It's a taste of heaven. And I just wanna take a second and honor this man. He's changing millions and millions of lives. Thank you for sharing your story and being honest and vulnerable. And you've changed my life, man. Thank you. I love you, bro.
Oh,
wrestle with the darkness. But I'm trying to reach for the light. Oh, the struggle keeps me honest, and it brings down the walls of my pride. Cause faith is improving as I go, till it's in through the fire. Oh, my head all kinds of feeling.
What it's all about. I think we got the message today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you need prayer today, we're here for you. Just stay. Whatever God is doing inside of you, just trust the process, and He's going to get us all there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessings to you. Yes. Ooh, come on up. Come on up. Yeah, we'd like to hear it. Ooh, God's moving.
Praise the Lord. What the Lord wanted me to share with you is that in order for this transformation to take place, and just in daily life, always maintain, or if you've lost it, regain your sense of wonder. Whew. I am a new creature. Christ, the one I serve, He is risen. Never separate the words from the wonder. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to repeat verses and you know, think we know them, but we've lost the wonder of them. You know? by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Read those verses. Read the things that you normally just kind of talk about. Reread them again. Recapture that wonder. It is transforming. There's a place of, well, most people say revelation. I always like the word realize, realization, where you realize this is really true. You always thought you knew it, but there's another level of the Spirit of God rising up in you. He is in me. Talk about transformation. He is in me both to will, to enable me to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the transformation, going from A to C. So please cultivate, regain, maintain your sense of wonder. I always tell people, one of the things I tell people before I teach the first time is no matter how many times you have read or heard a verse or a passage of scripture, always hear it like you're hearing it for the first time, and let it explode inside of you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, come on up. I'm going to put the light on, okay? I don't like it in the dark.
One thing that I learned when I was teaching kindergartners is at the end of the year, we always would raise butterflies in the classroom. And we had the little little cage, or whatever you want to call that. But they started out in a little cup as the little caterpillars. And then they would form their little J, their little chrysalis. And we would watch that form around it. Every day the kids would come in wonder. They would look upon it and be like, how did they do that? But one day this one little one came in, and you had to take the top of the cup where they were forming these little J's and then attach it to the side of the little mesh cage that they were in, so that when they did emerge, they could be free and they had a place to fly around. Well, one day one of the little ones was looking, and he said, oh, no. Oh, no. And I said, what's the matter? He goes, he lost his head. And I said, what do you mean he lost his head? But if you look, the top part that to a little one appears to be the head of the caterpillar doesn't stay inside the chrysalis. That's not needed anymore. And God said, tell him that he's renewing his mind. And I was like, oh, wow. So in little kid terms, we kind of have to lose our mind a little bit, but not in the sense that Satan wants us to say that and have it be a curse, but instead as a blessing and a chance for that total transformation to take place. So the minute they learn that, they're like, oh, yay, and they clap and they get all excited. So clap and be excited. There you go.
Yay, God, we're changing. Glory. Just wait a second. You might have something else. Anybody? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's so good, isn't he? We just thank him. Lord, we just lift you up again, and we thank you, Lord, that we are in the transforming. We're transforming. So, Lord, we thank you. You're taking us to new places. You're changing us into the person that you want us to be in our destiny. So, Lord, you have great purpose for each and every one of us, and a plan that's bigger than we can even think. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing today. And, Lord, we thank you as a body of believers, Lord. We know that we're going to be used by God in Easton, Lord. And we thank you for all the souls that are coming in. And Lord, as you were patient with us, we need to be patient with them, as they're going to be transformed too. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome week. Yes. Yay, God. This was different. Even I couldn't talk, but that's okay. You got the message anyway, right? So if you need prayer, we're here for you. Anything, come on up. I think there's a little bit of stuff in the back if you'd like to partake in that. And, of course, fellowship in the front. Blessings to you. Thank you.